They say the first High Life Corps drifted over the Gulf of Guinea on a warm night in 1930, carrying laughter, secret hopes, and the soft scrape of a trumpet mute. Almost a century later, a different sound rises from Lagos rooftops. Afrobeats so loud it rattles glass and draws streaming numbers that dwarf many nations' populations. Two sounds. Two countries. One question. Who truly owns the soul of West Africa? Amina Mensah, a young Ghanaian journalist with a battered camera and a heart full of mixed loyalties, sets sail to find the answer. She thinks she knows the stakes, fame, legacy, bragging rights. She has no idea that buried in dusty vinyl sleeves and auto-tuned hooks lies a story of family ties, lost love, and power struggles that could rewrite history itself. So if you think you've heard it all, you haven't. Hit follow on your favorite platform and leave us a comment, because the next story might just change the way you see everything. Don't miss a single twisted turn. Chapter 1. Echoes Across the Gulf. The ferry from Lagos to Tema leaves at dusk, when the equatorial sun melts into the ocean like bright wax. Salt wind whips Amina's braids across her cheeks as she grips the rail. Her camera hangs heavy against her chest, lens cap off, always ready. Lagos Bay shrinks behind her, oil rigs blinking in eerie rows, crowded tin roofs packed tight as dominoes, billboard eyes promising data plans and soft drinks. Somewhere in that electric sprawl, Afrobeats blares from car windows, each song a claim of dominance. We are the future. We set the rhythm. Follow or fade. Amina presses record. The ferry's diesel engine drones, deck lights flicker, and a boy no older than 10 hawks plantain chips in a tray he balances like a halo. She buys a bag, mostly for the story. He flashes a gap-toothed grin. Back to Ghana? He asks in a lilt that dances between Yoruba and Pidgin. Home is complicated, she laughs. I'm chasing a story. He shrugs. Everyone on this water chasing something, sis. Safe journey, oh. As night swallows the horizon, she reviews her notebook. Interviews line the pages in cramped script. Ebo Taylor, the 70-something highlife legend who promised to speak of lost masters. DJ Spinall, willing to brag about streaming numbers. Mix Master Garzy, ready to lament budgets. And Black Sharif, the new kid whose voice sounds like rust and sunrise. A sudden swell rocks the deck. The Gulf is gentle but moody, its moods older than borders. Amina steadies herself, then lowers the camera. She thinks of her father, a quiet schoolteacher from Kumasi, who played Fela Kuti vinyl on Sunday mornings while frying eggs. He used to hum along, saying, Nigeria borrowed our tune and returned it larger than life. No shame in that, only lessons. He never explained what lessons. He died before smartphones made playlists infinite. Far ahead, faint lights signal Tema port. When the ferry docks, containers stacked like toy bricks loom in yellow floodlights. Port workers shout directions, forklifts beep. Travel papers stamped, Amina hails a taxi. A dented Toyota whose dashboard saint swings from a plastic chain. Jamestown, she tells the driver. He eyes her camera. News or film? Both, she says. The drive inland smells of seaweed and diesel, then shifts to charcoal and grilled tilapia as they near Accra. In Jamestown, low concrete houses press shoulder to shoulder. Murals of boxing heroes and independence leaders glow under bare bulbs. Somewhere within the maze, high life floats, a mellow guitar, gentle horns. The driver stops beside a crumbling colonial wall. Amina steps out. Music guides her down an alley where fishermen mend nets by kerosene lamp. A courtyard opens like a revelation. Three elderly men under a tamarind tree, instruments in hand. One strums an archtop guitar weathered to pale mahogany. Another lifts a trumpet patched with tape. The third shakes a calabash rattle. She raises her camera. The guitarist smiles, teeth bright against night skin. You recording memories, child? Trying to, Amina says. Why still play at this hour? The trumpeter answers, voice a rasp of nostalgia. Because the young ones think the story begins with streaming numbers. We play so they remember roots. They glide into Yadonkor. A classic highlife tune older than Ghana's flag. The melody is tender, like someone forgiving an old friend. Amina's lens drinks in every note. Fingers on frets, trumpet valves snapping, rattle seeds whispering. She imagines this footage opening her documentary. Quiet fathers of a loud culture. Break over. The guitarist wipes sweat from his brow. Tell the Lagos boys we are still here, he says, half teasing. Amina grins. Maybe invite them for a duet? He laughs, a deep, warm rumble. Let them come. Across town, at Carbon Nightclub, the opposite energy crackles. Neon strobes. A crowd surges to a DJ booth decked in LED screens. Burna Boy's last drops, and the floor erupts. Phones rise, filming proof of presence. Two Ghanaian girls sing along word perfect, arms around each other's shoulders. Behind the booth, DJ Virusky toggles filters, sweat beating on his temple. He sees Amina Edge backstage and nods her over during a fade out. Looking for someone? He shouts over bass. Looking for a truth, she replies. He kill switches the music, dropping the room into a collective gasp, then slams in a remix of King Promise's Commando. The crowd roars. He leans toward her ear. Truth is simple. Nigeria sells bigger because they invest bigger. Ghana creates soul, but soul whispers. Money screams. She jots his words. Outside, dawn bleeds peach over Jamestown Lighthouse. Amina walks toward the beach where fishermen haul in nets glittering with silver catch. She frames a shot of their bare feet in wet sand. A young fisherman notices. Put hashtag hustle life, he jokes. She smiles but thinks about hashtags and algorithms, about how stories shrink to captions unless someone makes them breathe. Her phone buzzes, a message from her editor in London. Need a fresh angle. Don't give me the same Nigeria versus Ghana clickbait. Find the human cost. Human cost. She scans the shoreline. Boys scaling masts without harnesses. Women gutting fish for pennies. Artists playing for tips. Rivalry makes headlines. But who counts the backdrop lives? Amina pockets the phone. The day's itinerary. Meet Black Sharif in Kanongo. Then fly to Lagos for a studio session with Rema. She wonders if her heart can straddle the gulf as easily as her boarding pass. Later, on a dusty bus north, she scrolls headlines. Afrobeats breaks 15 billion streams, Nigeria leads. Ghanaian highlife veteran dies, only 300 people at funeral. Two news alerts separated by one swipe. She closes the phone, stares out at red soil and acacia trees whipping by. A lyric drifts in her mind, something her father hummed. Everybody join hands, make we highlife together. He believed music could bind borders. She isn't so sure anymore. The bus grinds to a halt in Kanongo. Crowds swarm. Vendors thrust boiled eggs and sachet water through windows. Black Sharif waits near a rusted sign reading Welcome to Ashanti. He is all elbows and energy, hoodie up despite the heat. When he spots Amina, he breaks into a grin. Camera woman, he calls. Ready to hear a new track? They duck into a cramped studio behind a barber shop. Foam egg crates line the walls. A single ring light flickers. Sharif cues a beat heavy on twangy guitar and trap drums. I call it Ghosts in the Gulf, he says. It's about lost fishermen and dreams crossing water. He records in one take. Voice cracked with raw edge, lyrics weaving English, Chui, and Yoruba. Amina films, goosebumps prickling. The song feels like a bridge between worlds. When they step outside, twilight cloaks the street. Sharif leans against a wall. You think Lagos will vibe to this? He asks. They'll feel it, she says. But will they claim it? He laughs. They claim everything. Let them. We'll just make more. A night bus carries her back to Accra Airport. From the window, she glimpses village fires flickering like ancient constellations. She thumbs her camera playback. The elders' high life, the nightclub frenzy, Sharif's one-take miracle. Three chapters of one argument. Heart versus hustle. At Katoka International, departure boards glow blue. Lagos flight delayed 2 hours. She finds a seat, exhaustion settling like dust. Her mind wanders to childhood afternoons when her father played vinyl and taught her that every note carries a story older than flags. She realizes the rivalry is not a clash of nations, but a chorus of voices asking to be heard. She opens her notebook and writes a new question at the bottom of the page. What if the winner is the one who listens first? The gate opens. She boards. Plane engines thunder. As wheels lift, the gulf unfolds below, vast, dark, unknowable. Somewhere in that water, echoes of trumpets and drum loops meld into one restless song that refuses to choose a side. Amina closes her eyes, lets the engines hum a bassline, and dreams of tomorrow's beat. Chapter 2. Crossroads and Compromises. A cool breeze drifts off the Atlantic as Amina's taxi snakes through Victoria Island's morning traffic. Lagos glows in dawn light, skyscrapers of glass and steel reflecting hope and ambition, while beneath them, Traffic crawls like ants on a sugar hill. She grips her camera bag, mind racing with last night's footage. High life's elder guardians, Jamestown's fishermen, Black Sharif's raw genius. Yet here, in this city of 9 million stories, she seeks one that has escaped every headline. The price paid for global acclaim. Her first appointment is with Tunde Spice Adebowale, a music video director whose visuals have shaped Afrobeat's glossy image. She finds him at his studio, a converted warehouse in Akoyi, walls splashed with vibrant murals of dancers mid-leap. He's in makeup, preparing for an on-camera cameo in Davido's next release. "Why chase ghosts across the Gulf when the future is here?" he teases, mistaking her documentarian leanings for nostalgia. His voice is layered with equal parts swagger and sincerity, much like the videos he crafts. "We export vibes, trends, fashion. We're the leaders now." Amina watches him adjust a camera rig beside neon panels. "But at what cost?" she asks, clicking record. "How do you keep authenticity when every brand and sponsor wants a piece of the story?" He pauses, laces rubber gloves on his hands. "Authenticity is flexible," he says, sweeping his hand to include polished dancers and luxury cars. "It bends to what people want to see. You can't fight that. You can only ride the wave." She nods, uneasy as the word wave echoes her father's warning about tides. Before she can probe further, his phone rings. He glances at the caller ID, Burna Boy. He sighs. "That's my cue," he says. "Tell me when you've found the soul, yeah?" Outside, Lagos hums at full volume. Street hawkers shout breakfast specials. Danfo buses screech to stops. Motorbikes dart between lanes. She tracks the skyline until it blurs into Ikeja's sprawling suburbs, then west to Ajij, where a mural of Fela Kuti stares down from a brick wall. Beneath it, a row of spray-painted lyrics reads, "Music is the weapon." Amina frames the mural, asks a passing vendor about its origin. He shrugs. "Fela will always watch over us." He reminds us, "Don't sell your soul." Later, in a cramped rehearsal studio tucked behind a grocery market, she meets Chike Obi, a Nigerian producer whose beats carry Afrobeat's deep grooves and High Life's melodic warmth. He's hunched over a battered MPC pad, nodding at a loop that pulses like a heartbeat. "You want depth?" he challenges, leaning into her lens. "Then listen." He plays two bars of a beat, horn stabs slicing through bass, ghostly guitar plucks curling beneath snare. "This is my grandfather's rhythm, my father's struggle, my city's hustle. You can't buy that in a sponsorship deal." Amina's pen hovers. "But you work with brands. You sell ad space in your videos." He shrugs sheepishly. "I have to eat, but I draw the line. No scripted slogans in my music. If a sponsor wants a message, they get a commercial. My art stays mine." She files his quote. "Art stays mine." It rings truer than any streaming stat. By afternoon, Amina steers through Victoria Island's polished avenues to the Nigerian Copyright Commission headquarters. There, she meets Funmi Adesanya, a legal advocate fighting for stronger royalties and anti-piracy measures. In a sterile office overlooking Lagos Lagoon, Funmi outlines the challenges. Outdated laws drafted before the digital age, loopholes that let streaming platforms pay pennies per play, and rampant bootlegging in open markets. "Without enforcement, artists starve," Funmi warns. "They'll chase any deal that keeps them afloat." She slides a report across her desk, a breakdown of earnings showing top Nigerian stars pocket less than 10% of revenue generated overseas. "The system is designed to exploit its creators," she says, voice tight with frustration. As Amina reviews the figures, she feels a pang of deja vu, Ghana's industry woes mirrored here in a fancier suit. Competition has driven both countries to chase global recognition, but neither has built a structure that protects those who build the culture. Her final appointment is at Terra Culture, a cultural center in Victoria Island that champions arts from across Africa. There she meets Ameline Kosi, a South African curator who's hosting a West African Sound exhibit featuring artifacts, vinyl covers, and interactive installations. Walking through displays of vintage High Life sleeves and Afrobeats posters plastered with neon paint, Amelie offers a fresh view. This rivalry can be a platform for Pan-African unity. When Ghana and Nigeria collaborate, the world listens. She gestures to a touchscreen playing an interactive map of streaming data. "See how audiences in Brazil, India, and the UAE spike when there's a cross-nation release." Amina scrolls, peeks for Wizkid, Mr. Easy Shadowale, Burna Boy, Stone Boy, Davido. It's proof that partnership sells even more than competition. As the sun dips low, Lagos Electric Glow returns, and Amina stands on the rooftop garden gazing at its reflection in the lagoon. She reviews her day's footage. Spice's polished swagger, Chike's heartbeat groove, Funmi's legal fight, Amelie's Pan-African vision. Each perspective adds depth to her story. Not just Nigeria versus Ghana, but giants learning to build systems that serve their artists, and a future where rivalry yields to collaboration. Her phone buzzes with a message from Accra. Chapter 2 draft due tomorrow. Need focus on the human cost, lives behind the beats. She exhales, aware that every interview has unveiled a different cost. Elder musicians scraping by, rising stars choosing brand deals over authenticity, legal advocates struggling against broken laws, curators seeking unity. She lifts her camera, framing the lagoon's rippling surface. In its distortion, she sees the reflection of two nations striving, clashing, and, perhaps, finding harmony. A final voice echoes in her mind. What if the winner is the one who listens first? She taps a record command and whispers, "Let's listen." Chapter 3, Mirrors and Masks. The morning sun slants through the slatted shutters of Amina's Lagos hotel, painting stripes across her notebook. She sips bitter coffee and replays yesterday's interviews in her mind. Director Spice's slick pragmatism, producer Chike's heartbeat groove, lawyer Funmi's legal fervor, curator Amelie's Pan-African vision. Each voice beckoned a different truth. Now she needs to find the faces behind the fortunes, the lives altered by this cultural war. Behind the spotlight. By mid-morning, Amina crosses the third mainland bridge into the suburbs of Ogudu, where the stately home of Tolu Tiyi's awaits. Once a household name in Nigeria's Afrobeat scene, Tiyi vanished from charts 5 years ago. Rumors said he'd burned out. Others whispered legal battles. Now, in a low iron gate compound surrounded by bougainvillea, she hopes to uncover his story. She finds him in his workshop studio hybrid, reclaimed shipping container lined with guitars, vinyl stacks, and award plaques, some tarnished, some gleaming. Tiyi emerges from a back room wearing faded jeans and a t-shirt that reads Soul First. His face is still striking but etched with weariness. "Why would you come here?" he asks, voice flat, arms folded. "Because your silence speaks louder than any hit," Amina replies. "I want to know what happens after the applause fades." He studies her, then sighs, gesturing her inside. "Let me show you." He opens a crate to reveal a ledger brimming with debt notices. Taxes owed, studio loans, legal fees. "When streaming checks arrived, the labels clawed back advances," he says, tracing a finger down a column of red ink. "I earned millions and paid nearly the same. I lost my home. My manager vanished with the rest." He closes the lid. This is the fine print no one reads. Amina lifts her camera to the ledger. "So you walked away." Tiyi leans back, eyes distant. "I wasn't the only one. You'd be surprised how many artists trade art for accounting." He lowers his head, then looks up with quiet pride. "But I kept writing. Soul can't be counted." 2. The Invisible Workforce. Late afternoon, she visits Ojalegba Market, where bootleg CDs and unofficial downloads bustle in every stall. Here she meets Saad, a young vendor perched on a crate of cracked cases. Her stall is a rainbow of Afrobeats compilations, Ghanaian highlife anthologies, and pirated concert DVDs. "Why risk arrest?" Amina asks, running a finger over a Best of Burna Boy disc stamped, "Not for resale." Saad shrugs, counting Naira notes. "I feed my family. People want music cheaper than streaming. They want to dance, not pay a dollar per play." She folds the disc, sliding it into a plastic sleeve. "The real musicians get the headlines, I get crumbs." Amina captures the exchange on video. In Sada's hands, she sees millions of unbanked ears. "Is there hope?" she asks. "Only if someone teaches them how to pay," Saad says, looking into the crowd. "And if the money comes back to us." 3. The Ghanaian Echo. That evening, following a delayed charter flight, Amina returns to Accra. The city hums in sunset lavender as she taxis to La Palme Royal Beach. There, she meets Joe Kofi Gold Arun, a celebrated Ghanaian sound engineer who recently mixed tracks for top Afrobeats acts. In a coastal suite overlooking the Atlantic, Joe recounts his double life. Engineer by day, mentor by night to aspiring Ghanaian artists. He plays two mixes back-to-back. One a glossy Afrobeat single, the other a stripped-down highlife rendition. "See the difference?" he he says. In Lagos, I get paid per stream. Here, I work for love and tips. He taps the High Life track. This sound built my country, but no one's writing checks for its revival. Joe slides a USB drive across the table. Take this. Unreleased sessions of Na Manua's old band. His eyes glisten. Use it. Give her ghost a voice. Amina nods, humbled by the treasure. Thank you. I will. 4. The turning point. Night falls over Accra, and Amina gathers her final interview. A video call with Nigerian superstar Oma Quino Ajayi from Los Angeles. On screen, Quino reclines on a velvet sofa, Grammy nodules on her shelf behind. Her accent is clipped, her aura untouchable. You're digging into debts and downloads, Quino says, lips curved in a cool smile. Why not celebrate success? Because success here can be a mirage, Amina counters. Behind every global stage are people fighting to survive. Quino's gaze turns reflective. I fought too. I devoted my 20s to touring, endorsements. I missed my daughter's first steps. I lost my voice for a month after a stadium tour. You want soul. You want sacrifice. She exhales. But I'd do it again, if it means my music lives. Amina lowers her camera. Is it worth the cost? Quino stares at the ceiling, then at Amina's lens. Joy is worth it. Pain is worth it. Because we give the world a piece of ourselves. And sometimes that's all we really have. V reflections. Alone on her balcony, Amina watches lantern boats drift on the lagoon below. She replays the day. T.S. ledger of loss, Sada's survival hustle, Joe's ghostly high life, Quino's pride and pain. Each story held a mirror, revealing the hidden cost of cultural supremacy. She opens a fresh page in her notebook and writes, Chapter 3, When Giants Bleed, Their Drops Nourish Countless Seeds. In the dark, she hears distant drums and distant horns, two traditions entwined in every beat. She closes her eyes, listening not for clash or conquest, but for the rhythms that bind, pain, hope, sacrifice, and the soulful echo that refuses to be silenced. Chapter 4, Fractures and Fusions. The dawn sun crawls through the corrugated shutters of Amina's guest house in Lagos, spilling pale light across her scattered notebooks. 2 days in this city have revealed splinters beneath its polished sheen. Debts, piracy, exile, sacrifice. Today, she's on a new mission, to trace where the rivalry fractures and fuses, where Ghanaian and Nigerian rhythms collide in unexpected harmony. Aye, the street cipher. By mid-morning, Amina navigates the labyrinth of Ajib's back alleys, following a rumored cipher where rappers freestyle over beats borrowed from both highlife and Afrobeat. A crowd encircles a makeshift stage, a painted wooden pallet draped with flags of Nigeria and Ghana. Young MCs shove mics in each other's faces, spitting bars in Chui, Yoruba, Pidgin, and English. Each verse is a gauntlet thrown and picked up. Boasts of streaming numbers, jabs about stolen rhythms, odes to ancestral horns. In the center, two MCs square off, Nigeria's Depo verse mage Balogun and Ghana's Nana Floking Osei. Amina presses record as Depo opens with a rapid-fire stanza. When Lagos lit the fuse, you sat by the fire slash borrowed chords from Kumasi, then claimed the empire. Floking grins, nods, then counters. You talk big streams and buzzing tours slash, but who remembers the chords before your stores? As their words slice the humid air, the cipher transcends insult. It becomes a questioning of lineage and legacy. When the beat drops out, the two rappers nod respectfully. Challenge met, respect earned. The crowd erupts in cheers that echo down the alley. Amina asks Depo afterward, why blend the two sounds? He shrugs, wiping sweat. Because music isn't owned. It's lived. We freestyle war, but after, we hug it out over Suya and Kella Wheel. His camera-worthy grin reveals the truth. Rivalry and unity are inseparable in the streets. 2. The Vinyl Archivist. Later, she meets Bolaji Bo Adeyemi, a legendary Nigerian vinyl archivist whose warehouse in Surulere houses thousands of 45s, Afrobeat singles, rare highlife pressings, calypso jazz imports. Bo gestures to towering shelves that creak under weight. History is brittle, he says. One flooded warehouse, one fire, and it's gone. Amina lifts a cracked sleeve. Iti Mensa's Rosie, original Ghana pressing. Bo watches her reverence, then leads her deeper to a locked cabinet. He withdraws a pristine acetate test pressing of Fela Kuti's first single. So rare even he fears to play it. This was cut in England, before anyone knew his name, Bo whispers. Sound travels, borders disappear. He slides the acetate into a portable turntable, needle descending in a soft crackle. A distant shout, a muted trumpet, Fela's nascent howl. It ripples through the dust motes. Amina presses stop, tears in her eyes. This is where they converge, Bo says. Before Ghana gave birth to highlife, before Nigeria's drums conquered the world, they shared this possibility. 3. The collaborative studio. That afternoon, Amina crosses to Lekki's vibrant eco-Atlantic district, where two rising stars have set up a joint project, Ghana's Jaiki and Nigeria's Rema. Their studio glows with colored LEDs, an inlaid logo half black star, half green white green. Inside, Jaiki holds a smartphone to record harmonies while Rema taps rhythms on a MIDI pad. Their track, tentatively titled Bridges, blends Jaiki's soul-inflected melodies with Rema's trap-infused cadences, underscored by a subtle highlife guitar lick and an Afrobeat horn stab. In breaks, Jaiki sings in Chui. Rema raps in Yoruba and English. When they play the chorus back, both grin in sync. Jaiki explains, "This is what our parents dreamt. We carry their blood, but we build new bloodlines." Rema nods, adding, "When we drop this, I want fans in Accra and Lagos both feeling at home." Amina films their laughter, proof that beyond competition, creativity finds unity. 4. The Policy Roundtable. As dusk falls, she attends a closed-door roundtable at Lagos's Musin Center. Government officials, label executives, artist union reps, and civil society leaders convene over polished mahogany. At stake, a proposed West African music accord to harmonize copyright laws, standardize royalties, and facilitate cross-border promotion. Dr. Amina Bello, Nigeria's cultural minister, opens. "We must break these artificial walls. Our music is one river with many tributaries." Ghana's deputy culture secretary, Kofi Asare, responds, "But to collaborate, we need trust. That means transparent systems and shared benefits." Debates flare. Currency disparities complicate payments. Infrastructure gaps hamper distribution. Language barriers obfuscate contracts. Yet in each objection, Amina notes cautious optimism. When the session concludes, the two officials clasp hands, a symbolic duet of diplomacy. V. The Night of Crossbeats. Later that night, Amina returns to the open-air venue in Victoria Island's waterfront district. The Crossbeats Festival, marquee glows neon. A mixed lineup, highlife legends from Ghana, Afrobeats hitmakers from Nigeria, and the Cypher's verse mage and Floking sharing headliner spots, fills the stage. Under palm fronds, the crowd sways first to gentle guitar strains, then to deep bass grooves, then to freestyle rap exchanges. Fire dancers circle as horns and drums weave polyrhythms. For a moment, national flags fade into the dusk. Only the music remains sovereign. Amina stands at the edge of the mosh pit, camera lifted. Here, rivalry has become celebration. Fractures healed by shared rhythms, fusions born of mutual respect. When the final beat drops, thousands raise cell phones, uniting flickering lights across a sea of faces. She lowers her camera and smiles. In the swirling mass, she glimpses the answer to her story. The clash isn't a wall but a hinge, allowing two giants to open doors to a future of boundless possibility. As the festival lights dim and dawn approaches, Amina pens her chapter's final line. When two worlds collide, they don't just shatter, they create new shapes. Chapter 5, Bridges Built by Beats. A humid afternoon sunlight falls across Amina's journal as she scrolls trending hashtags. Hashtag Ghananija 2025, hashtag So It Goes Challenge, hashtag Bridges Not Borders. In the streets of Accra and Lagos, the air vibrates with anticipation. This is the summer of cross-border collaborations and industry upheaval. Music, for a brief, shining moment, has silenced rivalry in favor of creation. The studio summit. It's midday when Amina finds herself ushered through the soundproof doors of a towering Lagos studio. The city's skyline glimmers in the distance, but all eyes inside are glued to the glass booth, where Black Sharif and Nigeria's Fireboy record new vocals. The session is charged. This isn't just a single. It's the headline act of a pan-African album project called Bridges. Fireboy's voice, smooth and reflective, glides over a highlife guitar loop sampled straight from Ebo Taylor's archive. Black Sharif answers in verse, raw and determined. Somali producer Ayo Maff engineers the session, layering in live brass and hand drums. the studio's notes and lyrics trade in family, fame, and a hunger to honor the struggle. This is more than a marketing strategy. It's a sonic truce, and its resonance is immediate. So it goes racks up over 2.7 million YouTube views in 2 weeks. Amina Films, capturing every take and candid behind-the-scenes laughter. When the track ends, the applause is real. "We're not just building hits," Fireboy says, towel draped around his neck. "We're reminding ourselves what we have in common. When the world listens, they see Africa's unity before our differences." Black Sharif nods, pride flickering behind his tired eyes. 2. The hybrid sound. Later, in a producer's roundtable, Amina listens as SARS, Nigeria, Jules, Ghana/UK, and Moli, Ghana's viral sensation, discuss trendsetting for 2025. Afro-EDM hybrids dominate streaming charts. Dance floors throb to vintage highlife guitar layered over synth drops, and live horns soar above digital drums. Jules explains, "We're not holding on to the old, just remixing it until it sounds like right now." The conversation shifts to a growing movement. Artists defy algorithm-chasing formulas and draw deeper from traditional instruments. "Sampling highlife is the cheat code," SARS laughs, "but the rule is you must give it new life." Their hybrid tracks get picked up on TikTok and Instagram, where kids in Kumasi and clubs in Berlin dance to the same beat. 3. The new business of music. Amina sits in on a virtual industry summit, watching Nigerian, Ghanaian, South African, and international stakeholders debate the future. The agenda: practical solutions for protecting artist rights, raising royalties, and growing the continent's creative sector to billion-dollar scale. Speakers call for the same things: government-backed creative funds, international investment, new studio infrastructure, fairer digital payouts, and music education. "Africa's voice is global, but our pockets aren't," says a Ghanaian exec. "We must own our sound, contracts, platforms, all of it." The vision galvanizes the room. Artists, once rivals, are now business partners advocating for new deals and legal protections that empower, not exploit. 4. Rivalry reimagined. On the ground in Lagos and Accra, old-school fans debate, but a new generation uploads choreography challenges to collaborative tracks. DJ Virusky spins at a festival, seamlessly blending Tiwa Savage and Angelique Kidjo's new duet into Black Sharif and Fireboy's hit. Dancers from Nigeria and Ghana swap moves on stage, Kent cloth flowing beside green and white flags. Female empowerment is finally visible. Jayaki, Moli, and Tiwa Savage headline the Africa Rising Showcase. Their performances shatter stereotypes. The festival crowd erupts every time a woman takes the mic. V. Culture, control, and legacy. Amina's documentary work shifts focus. She interviews label bosses, startup founders, and digital creators. They speak of new digital music services giving artists more control over their revenue, and grassroots campaigns educating fans on legal streaming and royalty importance. Old barriers of geography, language, and industry gatekeeping are breaking. Now, owning your master is the next national victory, not just topping charts. She closes the day at a cross-genre cipher. Highlife, Afrobeats, drill, and Amapiano bleed into one sound. Amina senses in these moments that the legacy of the Ghana-Nigeria clash is evolving. Rivalry has become respectful competition, pushing the music and the industry forward. 6. Looking ahead. As she maps her next trip, documenting the influence of these collaborations in London, Paris, and New York, Amina realizes her story isn't about who wins the culture war. It's about how two giants, taught to compete, learned instead to build bridges out of beats. She ends her day with a final note: whoever owns the tune controls the dance, and right now, the music is building new bridges, not walls. Chapter 6: Sibling Rivalry, Deeper Roots. A haze of late July heat hovers above Accra as Amina threads her way through Makola Market. Here, the city's rhythm is relentless. Vendors holler, radios jostle between highlife classics and viral Afrobeats, and cooking fires bring the spicy perfume of jollof rice that makes mouths water and words fly. But beneath those eager debates about whose rice reigns or whose beat booms louder lies a truth Amina now knows. Nigeria and Ghana are not enemies, not quite friends, but siblings. Twins raised by different circumstances, forever in a tug of war for West Africa's soul. The Jollof Derby. This morning, the city is captivated by news of the annual Jollof Derby, a cultural festival and football match played not just on grass, but in kitchens, studios, and social feeds. Banners hang above the street. Who's got the better recipe? Everyone has an opinion. Amina catches up with Chef Efua, a Ghanaian culinary star, as she preps for the televised cook-off. "We tease Nigerians like siblings," Efua laughs, ladling her rice into a clay pot. "It's love, tough love." Across town, Lagos chef Emeka streams in on video call, brandishing his spicy, smoky take. They banter, trade recipes, and dare each other to taste. The rivalry, playful on the surface, is serious in its pride, both nations using food as shorthand for heritage. But at the festival's after-party, as Ghana's team hoists a trophy and Nigeria's runner-ups laugh, Amina notices the joy isn't in winning, but in the ritual itself. The real prize, an excuse to gather, debate, and celebrate their shared West African roots. 2. The Mirror of Music. That night, at Independence Square, the main event unfolds, a joint Ghana-Nigeria concert. The setlist flows seamlessly from old-school highlife to the latest Lagos dance anthems, with Jaiki and Omalay's Forever remix, drawing cheers from every flag-waving fan. Behind the scenes, artists and producers mingle. The lines blur further. Nigerian Afrobeat star Burna Boy gives a shout-out. "To my Ghana family, without you, there is no us." Amina interviews young producer Kwame Black, who has worked both in Accra and Lagos. "This rivalry pushed us all," he explains. "But it forced us to listen. We cross-pollinate, steal, borrow, remix. Some say it's competition, but look around, it's brotherhood." Later, when Black Sharif brings Fireboy DML out for their smash hit, So It Goes, the roar proves the music transcends borders. Their collaboration, already racking millions of views and streaming numbers, has become an anthem for unity. 3. The Family Table. At a diner after the concert, Amina sits with Ghanaian and Nigerian fans, journalists, and artists. The table buzzes with jokes, rivalry lore, and even memories of the tough years, mass expulsions, compliance orders, and politics that stoked real tension long ago. A veteran highlife singer shares a story. "Once, we played Accra one week, Lagos the next. We'd wear the same suits, but switched the language. Only the food changed." An old Nollywood actor nods. "Our movies? We used each other's slang. Ghanaians, Niger, twins, just different tempers." The conversation shifts. "Is rivalry still helpful?" An up-and-coming Ghanaian MC says, "Sometimes we all just feel tired of the comparison. Celebrating ourselves isn't about putting anyone down." Kitty's recent comments are quoted. He called for an end to the embarrassing online wars and asked both countries to focus on their own strengths. 4. Competition, collaboration, and the future. As the week unfolds, Amina documents how both countries' industries, still competitive, are learning to reflect rather than react. On social, hashtags flip the old debate. Now it's hashtag bridges not borders. Festival organizers announce a new cross-border talent fund, and TV hosts bring Nigerian and Ghanaian contestants together for music, film, and food competitions. She films local DJs blending classic Ghanaian horns into Nigerian Afrobeats, and young kids learning to break and rap in pidgin and chui. Every interview suggests the rivalry is still alive, but more as a motivator than a wall. V. Legacy and Identity. On her final evening, Amina edits her footage under the amber glow of her Accra apartment. Across her screen flicker faces, chefs and MCs, mothers and moguls, footballers and fans. The old question, who is best, fades beneath the real storyline. How two cultures, intertwined for centuries, tease and challenge each other not to divide, but to grow. In her journal, she writes, "To be siblings is to argue and embrace, to trade recipes and rhythms, to never quite let go. Nigeria and Ghana, same DNA, different hearts. Their rivalry isn't a fight. It's a handshake, sometimes a hug, always an invitation to the next round." She closes, understanding that here, true power lies not in beating your brother, but in building together what neither country could alone. Chapter 7. Lines in the sand, lines in the song. Night in Accra, and the city is restless. Neon reflections shimmer in rain puddles, horns echo through the plantain-scented air, and everywhere Amina turns, debate buzzes over the airwaves, music shows, street corners, campus cafes. This time, the old rivalry isn't just about streams or stadiums. It's about pride, strategy, and the lines young artists are willing to draw for the future of Ghana's sound. The battle for airwaves. Amina wakes to breaking news. The National DJs Association, pressured by artists and cultural advocates, has announced a 100% Ghanaian Music Week. For 7 days, radio and TV stations vow to spotlight local talent. No Nigerian or foreign tracks. Across Accra and online, hashtags flare. Hashtag local first, hashtag support Ghana. Ghanaians, tired of being overshadowed by the Afrobeat's tidal wave, reclaim space for their homegrown highlife, drill, and dance hall. Some cheer. Others grumble. In Lagos, the move feels like betrayal but not surprise. Amina listens as Ghanaian superstar Shadow Whale tweets that isolation harms unity. That cultural growth needs both roots and open doors. In back rooms and WhatsApp groups, the mood is more anxious. Will shutting out Naija hits really help us or make Ghana smaller? Most artists, especially the new generation, voice quiet hope that the industry finally hears their call for respect and investment. 2. The secret weapon. But Accra is also alive with experimentation. At a smoky basement club in OSU, Amina films pioneering acts. Moli, Jayaki, and a new dancehall collective, blending their highlife DNA with sticky dancehall and reggae. On stage, they cite the viral success of Moli's Shake It to the Max. 26 million YouTube views in a single month. As proof that Ghana can conquer the global stage if it owns its sound and looks beyond the Afrobeat's battlefield. Between sets, Moli confides in Amina. We keep hitting the same walls on Afrobeats. Why not break through on dancehall, where the world already loves us? Strategy takes root. Industry whispers swirl of new collaborations between Ghana's Big Four. Shadow Whale, Stoneboy, Sarkodie, and Black Sharif, and top Caribbean and Latin stars. The plan: play to strengths, win new markets, and let Nigeria come rushing for a feature on Ghana's next global banger. 3. Sibling rivalry evolves. The rivalry, Amina sees, is no longer just a fight. Now it's a chess match. Youth on both sides relish the memes, food wars, and chart battles, but quietly, more are weaving bridges out of old grudges. On the streets and in DMs, collaborations spark faster than old beefs. Black Sharif and Fireboys, So It Goes, spends a fourth week on Pan-African streaming charts. Fans across both nations claiming the win as their own. In one interview, Nigerian Afrobeat star Rema admits, "Every era needs tension, but the truth is, we all want the same thing, African music on top everywhere." Ghanaian producer Kwame Black agrees but insists, "Respect goes both ways. You can't just eat jollof and run." 4. The industry responds. Amina's documentary follows the money. Roundtables form to debate copyright reform, fair royalties, investor confidence, and how both countries can keep their stars home instead of sending them to London or Atlanta. Ghana's government debates creative funding flows, workshops new digital platforms, and courts backers for ambitious cross-continental music projects. Meanwhile, as Nigerian and Ghanaian diaspora artists sell out venues in New York, London, and Berlin, the Twins of West Africa metaphor gets reframed. Not rivals, but siblings who argue, compete, and borrow each other's sneakers, and who present a united front when the world comes calling. V, the bigger beat. The 7th chapter closes with Amina filming a jollof derby, cook-off, and a dance battle streamed live online. Comments rolling in from Accra to Atlanta. Beneath it all, she narrates, "Ghana and Nigeria, two voices forever entwined. Sometimes harmony, sometimes discord, always echoing across oceans. Their lines in the sand get redrawn with each new song, every bright beat breaking the old rules. The real border isn't between nations, it's between the past, old grudges, and a future where the music belongs to anyone bold enough to claim the stage." As she uploads the final footage, Amina sees it. The rivalry, alive and fierce as ever, but slowly shifting. Out of war rooms and into strategy sessions, talent swaps, and a global market that's ready for every note Africa has to offer. Chapter 8. Currents of Change. A new wet season brings cool relief to Lagos, but the city's energy barely dims. Flooded gutters brim and Danfo horns still charge the dawn, signaling not just rain but a moment of historic change. The rivalry, loud, loving, and unending, between Nigeria and Ghana is once again about to shift. This time, it's not just another chart battle or internet meme war, but a deeper current pushing both nations toward unfamiliar territory. Global strategy, local pride, and a new vision for what West African music can be. I, the Global Gambit. Amina stands on the terrace of a gleaming event hall in Victoria Island, camera poised. Behind frosted glass, some of the continent's most influential names gather. Label bosses from Lagos, talent agents from London's Afrobeat scene, upstart producers from Kumasi, and data engineers streaming analytics in real time. The message on every lips, Africa is now. Davido, Burna Boy, Rema. Nigerian stars whose influence has become borderless are headlining not just concerts but board meetings. Spotify's latest global impact list shows Nigeria dominating the top 30 exported African songs of 2025. Rema's Baby is the most played African song globally, and female stars like Ira Starr and Tenny are rewriting the rules for women in African music. In an adjoining suite, Ghanaian delegates gather. Black Sharif's So It Goes featuring Nigeria's Fireboy has become a cross-border anthem, racking up millions of YouTube views and igniting viral social media trends. Moly's Shake It to the Max is smashing records, hitting over 26 million views in a single month and earning features on Apple Music and TikTok trending playlists. Promoters are whispering about her impact across not just Africa, but the Americas. Proof that Ghana's pivot to dancehall and reggae is paying off in markets where Afrobeat saturation had previously closed doors. Amina's documentary lens catches industry leaders hammering out the blueprint for Africa's next move. Bolder international collaborations, copyright harmonization, and ambitious joint ventures with South American and Caribbean stars. For Ghana especially, the future lies in playing to its strengths, dancehall, reggae, and sonic innovation, while still honoring its highlife DNA. 2. Breaking out, the young blood surge. That evening, Amina heads to a rooftop block party in East Legon, Accra, hosted by a new vanguard. Young Ghanaian and Nigerian artists determined to erase the old lines and chase a new market share together. Black Sharif and King Promise jam with Fireboy and Mins. Sarkodi trades bars with Chella, the Nigerian up-and-comer making international waves. Interviewing these artists, Amina hears the same refrain. The old rivalry was about proving who's best. Now it's about proving how big we can get together. Black Sharif says, "When I dropped my verse, I was thinking of the kid in Sao Paulo as much as the kid in Kumasi. It's about reaching beyond the old maps." King Promise nods, adding, "We're not just doing features for press. Now we plan whole tours, split the profits, and keep building." Journalists at the scene note how female artists are finally getting their share of the spotlight. Jayaki, Moly, and Ira Starr appearing on the same festival posters, booking major sponsorships, and pulling huge streaming numbers at home and abroad. 3. The clash and the collaboration. Ghanaian Radio's 100% Local Week still sparks heated debate in both Accra and Lagos. Some fear it creates walls just as the world opens up for African music, while others insist national pride is overdue. But in Lagos, stations respond. Not with anger, but with their own Naija First playlists that also sneak in Ghanaian hits. Friendly banter on Twitter and TikTok continues, but the war feels gentler. More about marketing than soul-deep animosity. Backstage, Amina films a roundtable with key cultural voices. Nigerian producer Sars, Ghanaian legend Ibo Taylor, and international managers. They discuss how, for all the rivalry, the secret weapon is still collaboration. Whenever Ghana and Nigeria team up, you can feel the energy shift, Sars grins. It's like cooking with two secret spices. 4. Shaping the legacy. Weeks later, the newly announced West African Music Accord, the result of industry lobbying and cross-border politicking, passes in Abuja and Accra. It sets new standards for digital royalties, copyright protection, and joint marketing funds. The accord is more than paperwork. It is a symbolic handshake across the Gulf, a mark of how far the clash has come. In New York, London, and Paris, African nights feature not just solo Naija acts but Pan-African showcases. Ghanaian dancehall finds fans in Miami. Nigerian Afrobeat swallows Ibiza, but the old rivalry now sells as nostalgia, not as battle lines. Even Moly's management works with Lagos-based promoters for her next U.S. tour, highlighting how, in practice, unity pays. V. The next giant step. At the season's last festival in Accra's Independence Square, Amina films the closing act, a raucous, joyful joint set featuring Moly, Black Sharif, Rema, and Jayaki. The screen behind them flashes images of Bridges Not Borders, the summer's biggest trend. The crowd is global. students from China and Colombia, tech execs from Berlin, TikTok stars from Atlanta, and thousands of Ghanaian and Nigerian superfans. Amina's narration carries over the footage. This rivalry began on dusty vinyl, traveled through the radio wars, and now storms stadiums across continents. The question was never only who would win. It was what could both sides build together that no one else in the world could imagine. She pans across faces. Laughter, national flags painted on cheeks, screens held high streaming live. The beat is unyielding, but the message is clear. If you think you've heard it all, you haven't. The next sound, the next move, might just change the world's music forever. Chapter 9, New Alliances, New Frontiers. On a brisk September morning in Accra, city banners flutter with the names of top streaming tracks, a reminder that musical allegiances have become a badge of pride. Black Sharif and Fireboy, Moli and Ira Star, Stoneboy and Davido. This is the age of new alliances. The rivalry between Ghana and Nigeria is no longer a simple two-sided contest. Instead, the landscape has fractured and multiplied, with artists from both nations forging pacts with global players and major industry titans. Aye, the business of unity. The week begins with breaking news. Virgin Music Group Nigeria announces a landmark partnership with Ghana's Rain Labs, a boutique label services company launched to propel African talent onto the global stage. In a press conference broadcast from both Lagos and Accra, executives and artists tout this as the bridge for new generations. Creatives like Joey B, Chyna Soul, and Baba J, alongside Nigeria's fastest rising stars, stand shoulder to shoulder in the same digital frame. Amina watches the live stream at a cafe packed with young producers, bloggers, and TikTokers. The air buzzes with possibility. "This is the moment," says a local DJ. "They're not competing now, they're building the road together." She types notes. Collaboration is the new competition. Global strategies, label services, marketing. A true shift in power. But not everyone is convinced. A few veteran musicians recall past pacts that fizzled, warning of global firms swooping in, taking ownership, and leaving homegrown artists with little. Yet as Amina interviews artists after the event, what's clear is a new confidence. With digital distribution, curated co-tours, unified royalty systems, and deeper marketing, both Ghanaian and Nigerian acts believe they finally have a fair shot at the world stage. 2. The surge of young blood. That afternoon, Amina heads to a rooftop showcase run by Rain Labs and Virgin Music. Here, Black Sharif and Fireboy perform So It Goes, their streaming juggernaut that has spent a fourth week atop Pan-African and European charts. Their synergy is undeniable. Fireboy's velvet smooth hooks wrap Amina, while Black Sharif's storytelling rings the hush from the crowd. Producers and label heads watch closely. What started as a friendly face-off is now a blueprint for future collaborations. As evening falls, stars like Jayaki, King Promise, and Mins with Chinese-Nigerian upstart Chella, whose My Darling is heating up global playlists, trade ideas and verses at a private roundtable. The room pulses not with rivalry, but with shared ambition, as if every fist bump and freestyle is a hammer driving another plank into the bridge between their scenes. 3. Breaking new ground, the global pivot. The game isn't just about West Africa anymore. Moli, Ghana's dancehall queen, is on a video call with Shadow Whale and Stoneboy planning a reggae remix with Latin American and Caribbean stars, from J Balvin to Shakira to Egyptian. The strategy is simple and bold. The Afrobeats market is already saturated. Nigerians have Europe, so Ghana's ticket is the Americas. Amina documents their brainstorming, catching the excitement as Moli's Shake It to the Max racks up over 26 million views in a month. In Lagos, similar meetings are taking place, with Nigerian and Ghanaian producers workshopping new Afro, Latin sound blends designed for Miami, Rio, and beyond. 4. Creative control and ownership. A critical undercurrent this year. Who owns the sound? As new distribution packs launch and international streaming soars, young Ghanaian artists, once left on the sidelines, are now gaining ground. Social media and digital branding have given them a megaphone, and for many, smarter contracts and stronger management. Ghanaian musicians are finally matching up, going head-to-head with the Nigerian industry, says Empress Gaddafi, a vocal industry leader. Our artists have learned branding and marketing, how to use TikTok, Spotify, Apple Music. We're not just local contenders anymore. We're global players. yet old challenges persist. Ghana still lags in label investment and unified industry structure. Still, optimism cracks the ceiling. Within the new alliance, Rain Labs and Virgin Music pledge transparent royalty reporting, equal promotion, and creative freedom, an industry first on the continent. Artists like Joey B and Ad DJ, who've spent years hustling outside the spotlight, now have real hope their music will reach international ears without being stripped of authorship or profits. V. Old rivalry, new spirit. In Accra and Lagos, the fans haven't forgotten the old battles. Social feeds light up with classic collab clips. Our 2Bs and Wizkid's Slow Down, Jaiki and Omalay's Forever Remix, Stoneboy and Davido's Activate. The lists grow longer by the week, and nostalgia fuels digital versus battles watched by millions. But the spirit has changed. A TikTok trend goes viral. Ghanaian Jollof calls out Nigerian Jollof. Moli duets reminisce. Black Sharif and Fireboy trade dance video challenges. Everywhere Amina points her camera, she finds collaboration is not just an industry trend, but a youth culture reality, fueling memes, remixes, and new friendships. 6. Setting sights on tomorrow. The chapter closes on a marathon festival live-streamed around the world. A luminous Lagos night where Ghanaian and Nigerian stars headline together. Behind the scenes, Amina interviews label execs, influencers, and fans, each echoing the same refrain. We want the world to know African music isn't just about rivalry. It's about evolution, about what we build together next. As the final fireworks fade, Amina notes in her journal, new alliances have redrawn the map. Frontiers are still there, but now they beckon, not block. The future belongs not to the single king, but to the giants who dared to build the bridge together. Chapter 10, Homecoming. Rain hammers the roof of Kotoka International Airport as Amina's flight touches down, washed in the gold of the Ghanaian dawn. There is no red carpet, no press throng, only the hum of baggage carousels and the shouts of tired porters. Yet this quiet landing feels, impossibly, like the close of a long war. After months circling Lagos and Accra, studios and stages, kitchens and boardrooms, Amina is back where both her journey and this epic story began. On the ground and in the cloud. The city outside is transformed. Billboards flash the faces of Ghanaian and Nigerian artists, side by side, advertising the Africa Bridges tour and a freshly inked cross-continental music accord. The street vendors hawk tour t-shirts and flags, Team Ghana, Team Niger, but with a new hashtag, hashtag Giants Unite. On the radio, an Afro-Latin remix of Molise, Shake It to the Max Pulses, featuring Shensia, Skillabang, and a Brazilian rapper. Streaming charts are filled with names from both sides. Black Sharif, King Promise, Rema, Fireboy, Jaiki, Stoneboy, Davido. Amina's notifications are a cascade. News of the international label partnership, Rain Labs and Virgin Music Group Nigeria, the Afro-Latin super collaborations, a 100% Africa night at London's O2 Arena. Even the old Jollof feud has become fodder for a Netflix food docuseries, bringing chefs from both nations into South American and Caribbean kitchens. 2. The Festival of Reconciliation. Amina heads straight to the Independence Square Amphitheater, where the Giants United Festival is underway. The stage soars with lights and holograms, dancers in Kent and green and white jumpers, a sound that floods the city. Ghana's Jaiki opens in English and Chui, duetting with Nigeria's Ira Star. The crowd waves both flags, jumping as the beat shifts from highlife to Afrobeats to dancehall and back again. Backstage, artists swap stories. Black Sharif, streaming now in Sao Paulo and Miami, shares a joke with Fireboy, phones pinging from fans on every continent. We're exporting unity now, Jaiki laughs. Maybe that's the next genre. 3. The closing panel. At the side stage, the festival hosts a panel, industry heads, journalists, rising and legacy artists from both countries. Amina is invited to moderate, the lens of her documentary now turned to the people shaping the new future. The questions are raw. How do we safeguard our culture as global money pours in? Will the new accord truly deliver fair splits, lasting infrastructure, and representation for women and up-and-comers? Are old wounds, historic expulsions, piracy, copycat accusations, really healed, or just papered over by success? The answers are honest. Rivalry drove us to dream bigger, says Stoneboy. But if we stop investing in our own systems, we lose everything we built together. Rema nods. It's only a win if the next kid in Kumasi or Surulere has more freedom, not less. Art must stay ours. Panelists agree. Co-ownership, industry transparency, and keeping roots alive are the new North Stars. 4. Microphones, memories, and meaning. Near nightfall, Amina slips into Jamestown's alleys to visit the old tamarind tree. The highlife elders are gone now, but a new trio. Two teens with shakers and a laptop, an auntie with a weathered guitar, sit where the legends once played. The youngest cues up a beat, voice cracking with nerves as he freestyles lines in Twi and Yoruba. Amina films, feeling the circle close. Rhythms passed down, renewed and reforged. She sees the story's arc, not of war, but of inheritance. Rivalry turned into bridge, and a new kind of homecoming, one where the next generation owns both the tune and the dance. She edits her final documentary segment, sitting by the water, Lagos lights reflecting far across the Gulf. In her narration, she says, "Ghana and Nigeria, rivals, partners, architects of something the world is just beginning to understand. Their clash made both stronger. Their collaboration may just change the world's rhythm for good. The true winner? The music itself, and every soul bold enough to call it home." V, a note to the future. As fireworks crown the festival stage, Amina hands her camera to a young girl. Lets her film the final moments. Faces, flags, the surge of joy as both nation stars join for a last unscripted jam. It's messy, loud, utterly alive. Future historians will call this a turning point. When two giants put down the old rivalry, picked up the mic together, and invited the world to dance. And as the crowd's song rises under the night sky, Amina writes her last journal line. If you think you've heard it all, you haven't. The next story belongs to those who dare to build, not just battle. The rest is still unwritten.